is the thing that if you want to receive mercy, you got to give it. He's speaking here that if you have to show mercy to other people. So, you know, what actually is mercy? What really is mercy? Mercy is just simply this definition. Mercy is love in action. Just that simple. If you want to think about mercy this morning, just think about that. Mercy is love in action. It's not just talk. It's just not emotion. It's not just feelings. Certainly those things are involved in it. But mercy is way beyond pity. You know, when you think about pity, sometimes people will think pity and compassion are the same thing. Sometimes we get into this idea that the compassion and pity, mercy, they kind of all become synonyms in our thinking. But the reality of it is the word compassionate, we use it a lot, and today it's used maybe probably more than anything else as a descriptive word, as an adjective. We say, oh, they're a compassionate person, or they're a compassionate woman, or they're a compassionate family. But the interesting thing is that the word originally wasn't an adjective, it was a verb. And originally the word had, and the idea of like almost like if you had a hyphen in it. And so it would be something like, it would be to compassionate is to enter into someone else's pain. To compassionate. So it would be, I'm going to compassionate. In other words, I'm going to engage in someone else's pain. And so what's the difference between pity and compassion? Pity and compassion is kind of like this. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? He lost his job. Yeah, that's too bad. He got ripped off. I feel sorry for him. That's pity. Compassion is, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? He lost his job. Yeah, I heard, man, that's really sad. Why don't we go over and take him out for a coffee, see if we encourage him? Pity. Oh, here's pity again. Oh, hey, did you hear about that single mom down the street? She got taken to the hospital the other day, and now she's got all these problems. Yeah, that's really tough. Not only does she have a husband, and she's got to raise these kids all by herself. That's pity. You know what compassion is? Compassion's, hey, the same story. Did you hear about that single mom? Did you hear about all the difficulties she's having? Yeah, what's she going to do? Hey, let's go to her house. Maybe we can go to the grocery store for her. Maybe she needs something. Maybe there's something going on. See, that's compassion, to compassionate. It's like, hey, did you hear so-and-so's son just OD'd? Yeah, that's really sad. I feel so sorry for him. Compassionate is, hey, did you hear so-and-so's son just OD'd? I really feel sorry for him. I'm going to go over and see if I can do anything to help them. I'm going to go see what I can do to love them. See, when we think about this, it is to enter into somebody else's pain. It's to engage in this. Because really, that difference between mercy and compassion is just simply that mercy is compassionate. Mercy is love in action. Mercy is not afraid to get its hands dirty and to step into the brokenness of other people's lives. See, that's what it means to be compassionate. That's what it means to be merciful. Jesus stepped in to the mess of our lives. When he came down through into Jerusalem that day, he was stepping into the unbelievable divisions and separations and heartache and problems and political divisions. He was engaging in it. He, on God's order, he rode in and identified himself who he was. And as you and I think about that this morning, and we think about love being mercy in action, I want to say something. Nobody deserves this. We're not talking about salvation today. Salvation is a free gift. It comes because you trust what Christ did on the cross for you. And that's what I do. This isn't about measuring up and being merciful so that you can get saved. This is about today, what happens to us and what's belonged to us because we belong to the family. And because we belong to the family of God and God is merciful, his mercies are new every morning because he is a merciful God. He is a merciful high priest today. Then we need to realize that rather than just being a reservoir to become a channel for the mercy of God. Rather than just you and I being a reservoir, how much mercy can I get? How much can God care for me? How much can God make me feel better? How much can God heal my body? How much can God, we become, because of mercy, God calls us to be a channel of it. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to reach out. So blessed are those who share their mercy. Would be another translation, or blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed, favored are those who share their mercy. So what's mercy look like? In the book of Mark, chapter 1, the last 5-6 verses, Jesus is in a situation and he reveals to us really what mercy is. Mercy is something manifested in an integral way in this passage because a leper comes up to Jesus. A leper comes up to Jesus. There's no cure, there's no prevention for leprosy in Jesus' day. It first killed the soul, and then it killed the body. I bet there's a lot of things you can think of sitting there right now that you might consider being a leprous type of thing in our culture here in the United States of America. Any number of things. Any number of things could be something that first kills the soul of a person before it ever takes their body. The soul was killed because the leper was an outcast. He couldn't be touched by anybody, and they would consider themselves, as well as so would everyone else, unclean. So look at this. Leprosy was considered an outward sign of an inward failure. A person who had leprosy was deemed by other people to have been judged by God. Imagine that. I bet there's not too many of us that from time to time we don't get in a situation and we see something occurring around us and we wonder what they did wrong. I bet we've all even asked ourselves that question, God, what did I do to deserve this? We don't understand mercy as God delivers it to lepers. In the book of Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45, it says this, those who suffer from a serious skin disease, leprosy, must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and cry out, call out, unclean, unclean. You know, in the Old Testament, lepers weren't sent to see the local doctor. They were sent to see the priest. All those kind of diseases, they weren't sent to see a doctor, they were sent to see a priest. And it was in order to protect the community because it was such a communicable disease. Hey, can you imagine walking everywhere you go and you got to wear a mask over your face? You just want to go in a Giant Eagle and the first thing you have to do is you go through is, unclean, unclean. You got to eat. You want to walk down through the town, you got unclean, unclean. You want to go to Lowe's, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine? That's your life. You can't touch your family. They can't touch you. You don't live at home anymore. They can't be where you are. And all you can say is, I'm a failure. Look at me. Look how messed up my life is. My identity now is I'm a leper. I'm a mess. I'm a failure. There's something wrong with me. Everybody needs to see that and stay away. How many folks do you know today that that's what they do when they have a problem? They say, I am unclean. They don't say it, but their body language delivers it. See, this morning, as we think about being a channel for mercy, imagine the torment, the physical pain. Imagine the confusion that guy was in. Like, why did I get leprosy? Who sinned in my family? Or was it just me? Who screwed up? Who created this? Why is God angry with my family that this is what's happening in my life? You know, because, you know, if they entered where they weren't supposed, they could be whipped, they could be stoned. They could be bullied, abused. When the worst things were going on, they were the ones that were always the least protected and the least cared for. In Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46 goes on to say, as long as a serious disease lasts, they will be ceremonially unclean. They must live in isolation in their place outside the camp. The leper was a walking dead man, soul crushed, waiting for the body to finally give in because there was no cure. Man, woman, child, it didn't matter. It was complete banishment from the presence of God's people. They couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't come near the temple. They couldn't bring an offering to the temple. They were absolutely estranged from and separated from, even from worship. Because you've got to remember, in the Old Testament, there was only one place you could worship, and that was the temple. You couldn't worship at home. You couldn't turn on a TV and watch something on television. You can turn the radio on in your car. You can listen to music and start a worship service because in their mind, worship required the shedding of blood and the only place you could shed blood was in the temple. And that was the only place you could find forgiveness and removal of sin. And a leper wasn't allowed to go there. Wasn't allowed to be a part of that. But he comes to Jesus in this public place. In verse 40, he looks at Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus. He knelt down can you imagine? He comes to Jesus in a public place. He comes right in the midst of all these crowds. This is weeks, maybe years before Jesus actually is making his triumphal entry that we sang about and are talking about this morning. And as he looks at this man kneels down in front of him. And he looks at him and says, if you are willing. He didn't doubt that Christ had the power. He didn't doubt that he was the Messiah. He didn't doubt that he was sent from God. What he doubted was, am I worthy? Do I have value? Is there something in me that you see that's worth touching me? That's what Jesus heard. That's what the people around Jesus heard. And at that moment, this untouchable person, there was two things that could happen. If Jesus touched him, he became ceremonially unclean unless he was healed. And hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Jesus touched him and he was healed. Jesus touched him and he was healed. Is anybody awake here today? Has Jesus ever touched you? Or if it's been so long since you were baptized, you don't remember what it was like to be dirty. You're so accustomed to showing up and punching in a time clock on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or something else that you come in here disgruntled and ugly and you don't realize that your leprosy is sticking out. Because you've forgotten that you've been touched by Christ. You've been forgotten that God wants you to be a channel and not a stinking, what do you call that thing? Reservoir. I'm sorry, I'm so off script now, so just hang on. Not off script what I wanted to say, just my demeanor. Because you know what? There are thousands of people. There are dozens while we're sitting here and they are shooting up in this town. There are others that are looking at a beer can right now, a fifth of whiskey. There are others that are looking at pornography. That's why they can't have sex with their wife. Their head's so screwed up. Those endorphins, right? Endorphins. They don't light up anymore except when they're in front of a screen or a glossy magazine. Man, it's... Folks, Jesus wants us to be this channel. Because people have needs. You have needs, but they have needs. Some of you feel like God's mercy is not really close by. Who have you given it to lately? Who have you given it to lately? I put a little tag in your bulletin today. It says, admit one. That's for you to invite somebody next week to hear about mercy in family. Don't invite a churchgoer somewhere else unless they're in your house. And that's fine. Pray over it and hand it to somebody on purpose. If you need more, there's more on the back table. One near the door there. Grab a couple more. It'll just get people in church. It'll get people to know that there's mercy. It'll get people to know we're merciful because we've received mercy. Amen. We're not about what you wear, what you smell like, what you look like. You come as you are, but we want you to come knowing that Christ is going to change you. If you hang with us, you're going to be changed. Not perfected and not perfect. We were singing this morning. I was thinking, you know what, God? I don't even know how to love like you love. I got to learn that. So here's Jesus, and he's in this situation with this leper. And everybody's watching. So the question that comes out of this, obviously, are we willing? Jesus, he was moved with compassion. He reached out. He did something about it. He reached out his hand. He touched the man. Next thing I want you to see on the screen says, compassion is about making a decision. It's not an emotion. Expressing compassion is a deliberate choice. It's just like real love. Love is not an emotion. It is an action. It is a decision we make with the will to love somebody. And to be compassionate, to compassionate someone. Can you imagine years of sickness, years of holiness, years of a soul just completely like withered on the inside. This identity that I don't belong, that I don't fit in, that I don't measure up. This whole thing that's impressed on this poor guy all at once. The ruin of the man on the outside was a signal of what transformed on the inside. Healing. There's irony in this. You know what the irony is, first of all? When Jesus told him not to go tell everybody, he went and told everybody Jesus couldn't go into town anymore. Jesus couldn't present himself around. But there's also another irony. I'm going to read a couple verses for you here. From Leviticus chapter 14. He will then slaughter the male lamb in the sacred area where the sin offerings and the burnt offerings are slaughtered.
As with a sin offering, the guilt offering belongs to the priest. It is a most holy offering. The priest will then take some of the blood of the guilt offering and apply it to the right lobe of the ear, the right thumb of the right hand, I'm not going to take my shoe off, and the big toe of the right foot of the person being purified. This was what Jesus told that leper to do. He said, you go to the high priest, not to the doctor, not to your family, not to anybody else, but you go to the high priest, and this is what you do. You're going to sacrifice. He's going to examine to see that you don't have anything, and then to show that you are every way whole, he's going to touch you so that it shows that you're a listener to God, that you're a servant of God, and that you will use your feet to honor God wherever he tells you to go. The interesting thing about this particular sacrifice for the priest is that it's the same sacrifice that was given on the ordination, I'm sorry, of the leper. I apologize. Of the leper. It's the same sacrifice in Leviticus 8 that was for the priest. Think about that. The leper had to present the same offering and go through the same procedure of cleansing that the priest had to go through. He had to have his right thumb, he had to have his right earlobe, and his right big toe anointed for cleansing as a priest, to become recognized as a priest. So what is the irony in this is that the blood cleanses the priest is the blood that cleanses the leper. The blood that cleanses the priest is the blood that cleanses the leper. The sacrifice that makes the priest the holy man acceptable to God is the sacrifice that makes the leper acceptable to God. That's something we need to like stop and think about. This person totally ostracized, and unable, and for health reasons, but just think about what it did to them. Think about the end result of their soul. Think about how they are banished from anything involved with the presence of God. And on the other side, here's someone who's being set apart to minister exclusively on behalf of the nation in the presence of God. And the very same blood, the very same sacrifice that purifies the banished one from God's presence is the same sacrifice that purifies the one who's to minister in God's presence. Wow. Holy smokes! That's amazing. So we need to grasp the power and the effectiveness of the blood offering. Symbolized then, but what about the one that was once and for all for us through Jesus? What about that purification? Think of this. What it means is that there is nobody so unclean as to be beyond cleansing. And there is nobody so righteous and so holy in their own mind as to be above cleansing. So whether you're a priest or a leper, it's the same sacrifice for all of us. Hallelujah. Not just because it's an epidemic, am I bringing up people that are shooting up and snorting cocaine. Not just because it's invaded my family. It's been on my heart for at least 6 years. Ken knows about this. But I am pressed in. And we need to be pressed out. Because the very same sacrifice that purified you and purified me is available to all who will believe. But how will they believe if someone doesn't speak? And how will that one speak if they're not sent? See, we need to be a sending congregation that starts within this city limits and extends out to the communities around us and extends out to the world. Because what does it profit somebody to gain the whole world and lose their own soul? What profit is there in that? I'm going to tell you something. The lepers today in our society, they're asking the same question. Are you willing? Are you willing to help me? Being the hands and feet of Jesus. Those are nice little words we can see all written all over in all kinds of churches, including ours. Those are nice little phrases we can use in our small group. But the question is are we willing? Are we willing? Are we willing to reach out and touch those in the drug epidemic? Are we willing to reach out and touch those who have had abortions? Are we willing to reach out and touch those who are struggling with alcohol? If they fall 6, 7, 8, 9 times, I got news for you. Proverbs says that if a righteous man falls 7 times, 7 is the number for completeness, wholeness. In other words, continually. If a righteous person falls 7 times, they will get up again because the Lord holds their hand. How arrogant we become as Christians. We can okay our falls. We can excuse our falls. But let someone we know have a relapse with cigarettes or alcohol or pornography or drugs or something else. After the 3rd or 4th time, we begin to just like say, yeah, you know, I got to distance myself here. I got to step away here. I can't get too close. I'm talking about trusting them. We talked about that earlier when we talked about forgiveness a few weeks ago. I'm talking about trusting them. I'm talking about being merciful to them. I'm talking about not trusting, but touching. You know, they've already figured it all out, but the greatest way to show somebody value is to hug them. Some of you are so traumatized in your childhood because you had parents or grandparents who cared for you that wouldn't hug you. And today, your hugging has become an emotional constriction in your soul. And Jesus wants to heal you. But not for you. He wants to heal you so you won't longer be a reservoir, but you will become a channel of mercy. Maybe you've never trusted Christ. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, Pastor Mark, I'm one of those lepers. I don't even think I belong here. I can never get it together. Every time I turn around, I feel like I'm falling apart. I don't even like to talk to people. I don't like people to talk to me. It's just like, can I get in and can I get out? Because I'm afraid something's going to come out. It's going to disqualify me from First Baptist Church. It's going to disqualify me from being here. I've been holding that and hiding that for so long that I just want to keep it hid because I can't control myself. Exactly. That's exactly why you need a hug from Jesus. That's exactly why you need to open up and share your burden with us because we want to touch you. When I say we, I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about Pastor Ken. I'm just talking about the demon. I'm talking about a whole bunch of people here. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We want to touch. We want to see God like we've never seen God. And we need you. And those God's going to bring, we need us all. Because God wants to do a work. But we have to be willing to touch. Be touched, touch. Be touched, touch. Be touched, touch. Would you bow your head with me? If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, or maybe you have and you've never proclaimed it publicly, and you're still struggling with that because you think, well, you know, what difference does it make? Now I'm going to make a commitment and people are going to wonder, they're going to be looking at me to see if I'm